Welcome back to Tech Hygiene. We help you stay sane in a crazy world. Say hi to your hosts, John Biggs and Lauren Feltman.
Welcome back to Tech Hygiene, a podcast that allows you to stay sane in an increasingly high-tech world. I'm John Biggs.
I'm Lauren Feltman.
And today we have a few things to talk about. We have a new president incoming, as it were. We want to talk a little politics. I wrote a lot about conspiracy theories. What's your favorite conspiracy theory, Lauren?
That in QAnon, that guy who's JFK Jr.
That Fusca, what's his name? Fusca or whatever?
Yeah, it was Anthony. Yeah. I don't know his name, but
yeah, he looks like a bodega owner around the corner for me.
Yeah, he's got the pork pie hat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite ones. And my other favorite one is that Laura Loomer used to be a man and was implanted here by Mossad. There's a famous picture of Laura Loomer next to a Mossad agent.
Huh.
I like that one too.
So I wrote a big piece on conspiracy theories.
I saw that about the lizard group.
So the trick is what this whole thing was. This guy, what's his name? Linwood or whatever, was a lawyer who slowly went crazy. So he worked with a small group of lawyers. He had a little firm and he was fine. And then slowly but surely he kept on emailing the guys or like talking to him like in depositions and stuff. And he was like, "Hey, I'm God. I'm Jesus. I'm coming back from heaven." Slowly but surely everybody abandoned him. Now he gets on Twitter. I don't know if you, did you watch his little tweet storm?
Yes. I'm familiar with the gentleman.
So the weirdest thing is he's coming at this thing like, and I heard all this stuff from like a crazy journalist guy that I knew, but he comes on to Twitter and he goes through the entire like litany of this whole idea that there's a cabal of people who come up to you as you're up and coming. So say you're like, I don't know, Jack Nicholson in the 60s. And as you're up and coming, they come up to you and they give you a gun and a boy or a girl, like a baby. And you have to, they film you having sex with the baby. And then they have you shoot the kid and they film the whole thing. Then you get to go past, that's like your rite of passage, right? Mm-hmm. And then you get to become a star. So everybody in the world who's anybody, it's all the 10 groups, the Bilderbergers and the Illuminati and the, I don't know, the McDonald's presidents, everybody in the world has to go through this thing in order to become famous. And that's the only way you can become famous. And if you talk against it, then the Illuminati will either threaten to pass out that document that they made of you, that video that they made of you, or you commit suicide. Basically, there's only two options really.
Yeah.
As you can imagine, this is not a real thing, obviously, unless you're in Hollywood, so maybe you know about this thing.
Well, I'm part of me, as sick as it sounds, is insulted that I was never approached to be the greatest puppeteer in the world, which some argue I might have been.
But imagine
Jim Henson puppet level fame for me.
Yeah.
And then my mind goes to, well, would I rape and kill a child? And
yeah,
that's a no.
That's a no. So that's not a thing.
That's definitely a no. But I would have liked to, you know, I don't know, have the,
it's an honor
the
being nominated.
Right. I would have liked the offer at least.
And to imagine that Jim Henson had to rape and murder a child to get to where he was is pretty crazy too.
Yeah, he just made awesome coffee commercials and stuff.
Oh, well, oh, I don't know. Yeah, I thought it was I thought he got approached by the cabal.
Yeah, it's also very rooted with the protocols, the elders of Zion, that whole thing. It's very anti-Semitic undertones to this.
What's the blood libel, right?
It's the blood libel stuff. And it's definitely weird and crazy.
But the
he's an interesting character. He also Didn't he represent that Kyle Rittenhouse?
Yeah, Rittenhouse, all these guys. Like he's like the he's the whatchamacallit.
He's yeah, the, he's been on a tear lately for the last few weeks, actually. And just completely batshit crazy and getting a response and seemingly the support of the president. He hasn't disavowed him in any way, the famous disavow. Things are heating up. They're already in Washington. I saw, did you see on the news? They're already in Washington getting ready to freak tomorrow.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're gonna freak, but what does that get them?
Gets him nothing. Joe Biden's going to be named president. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen to poor Pence, you know, with Trump leaning on him to do something he can't do. But the whole thing's ridiculous and crazy. And we'll just see what the next couple of weeks, you know, bring. It's nuts. When does Biden get the keys?
Well, I mean, like in 16 days, right? The 20th or something like that.
Is that what it is? The 20th? Well, it's going to be a wild 2 weeks, that's for sure.
Inauguration Day 2021 is the 20th. Yeah, I've had this sticker. I had a sticker on my laptop that was January 1st, 2021. It's been on there for 4 years basically, and it was like it was either going to be a tragedy or a farce, I guess.
Well, you got Georgia tonight.
Yeah,
and that's big Q country for sure. You know, and a good portion of America and, you know, really believes this stuff.
Why? So when was the last time we believed this deeply in all this bullshit?
The problem is distribution.
Yeah.
There's always been, the fringe conspiracy. What was the guy? He was out here, the radio guy who was actually cool. He had the radio show for years.
Art Bell.
Right, exactly. There's always been Art Bell characters, and him being one of the bigger ones, but kind of innocent on it. But the difference is, you know, Art Bell and guys like him only had their street corners, newsletters, you know, hard ways to get on the group, staying up at 4 a.m. to listen to Art Bell.
Yeah.
You know. And there are people who are into it, and even people who aren't into it, like you and I aren't conspiracy theorists, but we both can admit, like, wow, it's crazy and weird and like cool and, you know, cool in a twisted way.
Yeah.
You know, even, you know what I'm saying? So I think once you got Facebook and mass distribution, that's what changed the game. Cause I think a lot of people are prone to bullshit. And snake oil. I mean, in a way, conspiracy theories is kind of the same mindset of the whole Oprah mindset. You know what I'm saying?
Like magical thinking.
Yeah, yeah. Like the power of positive thinking and all of this kind of stuff. It's like the flip dark side of that kind of person, you know? So people are prone to that. Whether it's Oprah kind of stuff or, you know, this Lynn Wood kind of stuff. There's uh-huh. just a certain amount of people who are just prone to that. Tony Robbins. It's all like the same shit. Now, you and I, you know, we're not necessarily those kinds of guys. You know, I'm not, you know, big into that stuff. You know, most of it to me is bullshit. It's nice when I see people who I do think are sincere. But usually they're not in it for a living, you know. But, you know, that being said, there are a lot of people who do gravitate toward that kind of thinking, whether it's, you know, the Oprah-esque positive or the Linwood dark negative.
Well, I mean, it's the frustration, right? So you live in a world that's constantly frustrating you. So either right. you take it to the goop level where you're like, okay, I got to use these special crystals and put something in my ear or whatever to smell better or something like that. Or you take it to the Art Bell level where the entire world is out to get you and you're the only guy who knows about it. It's mostly guys really who love this stuff.
Yeah, and I think it's very well put by you choosing the word, you know, kind of, what did you say? I'm sorry. Well, not paranoid. Is that what I forgot the word you just
paranoia?
Used.
No, well, like not paranoid. I think
chip on the shoulder.
Yeah, yeah. You're just you're everybody's yeah, out
there. Right? You said frustrated. You said frustrated.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is. It's these people frustrated with the current state of their things in general, things. And, you know, to a point where it's just freaking them out. And, you know, there you go with it.
And to a degree, it gives you an out, right? So you can basically look at the world and you can say that, okay, the lizard men are the ones who said that I can't work at the steel mill anymore.
Right. Right.
As opposed to, I don't know, the dude who used to live two doors down from me, who is the manager of the floor and sent my jobs over to Mexico or whatever. That guy's not in trouble. A, he left. He already left. He moved to like Pittsburgh. And B, he wasn't the guy who did it to me. It was the faceless man in black.
Yeah.
Who came in and destroyed our town.
Yeah, it's a problem with these guys, but I don't think it's going away.
So what do we do? What happens in tech when Biden comes in?
What's his story? Is he a tech friendly guy?
I don't think he's tech friendly. My favorite thing about Obama was when he came in, he started the digital core, I guess it was called, or the digital service, and he was really friendly with the .com guys. This is another whole spiel with these with the paranoiacs with the .com stuff, and that's why they don't like the Democrats. As I pointed out before, I don't know if I talked about this. The idea that the Democrats used to be pro union. But slowly but surely they moved to where the money was, and Y2K came around. They knew that the money was and all the .com boom was coming. They knew that's where all the money was, and that was easy money because those guys were in the same lane as them on the highway going down. So they basically turned their attention to the tech. So anytime a Democrat comes in, it's tech here. It's all tech basically. So it's going to be pretty good. I don't think Biden per se is going to know what to do, but I think he's going to hire people and he's going to bring people on who are going to be a lot more technical than this last crew.
Yeah, that seems to be the vibe that I'm picking up from him. Is that he's going to be hiring a lot of good people just across the board. I mean, he's already hit the ground running with tons of appointments. Excuse me, and you know, hiring and all of that. So, you know, certainly not knowing any of the inner workings, but it seems that he's a committee kind of guy, has no problem, you know, with other team members and trying to get the best athlete available for his teams. You know,
we had one, so. Obama had three CTOs, the chief technical officers, right? So he had Anish Chopra, Todd Park, and Megan Smith, and Trump had one. And his first one came in 2019. So if you can imagine that, he wasn't even a CTO. He worked at Thiel Capital.
That's a good sign.
Yeah, and he was
at Barclays. So that's the end of it. I don't need to hear more.
Yeah, exactly. He was at Barclays. There's nothing there.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how public the Biden administration goes with what a disaster they actually inherit. Because, yeah. You know, I mean, especially on the tech front, I'm sure it's just barren.
I think in terms of yeah absolutely. So it's like it's the biggest problem that I saw with this administration is nobody wanted to go work for them. Like if I got picked and I've submitted for the digital service, for example, a couple times, and they interviewed me, I would totally do it because my dad worked for the government for years. I have a sense that it would be a good idea just to give back or whatever. Love to do it. Would I do it under Trump? Absolutely not. And I would have never done it. I don't think anybody with any skill or experience would do it under Trump.
Agreed. But I do think that there'll be a sense of excitement, hopefully.
Yeah.
to do it under, you know, to do it under Biden. So.
All right. How much Bitcoin did you buy?
None. I wish I did. I wish I did though.
Did you think about it way back in the olden days? Like 2010?
2010, somebody sent me $5 worth of Bitcoin.
$5 worth of Bitcoin.
Yeah. Around that time when the thing first started.
You bought five.
What would it be worth? What's it worth now?
If you bought $5, do you still have it?
I might. I think it's in Coinbase somewhere.
When was this?
Years ago.
Find it. Figure out where it was. Because if you got $5 worth, if you bought $5 of Bitcoin 7 years ago, you'd be $4 million richer.
Get this, out of here.
This is between 2010 and 2017. If you figure out when it was, then if you tell me which year it was, we can tell you what you have. You'd have a lot of money.
Get the fuck out of here. $5.
Yes, you'd have a lot of money. I bought my son $45 worth of Bitcoin. If you did it in 2008, $5 worth of Bitcoin would have been like 100, like 10,000 Bitcoin. It would have been crazy. In 2018, I want to say 2017, I bought him $45 worth of Bitcoin when we were in Poland. I'm just like, hey son, here, give me your phone. And I just bought him some Bitcoin. So he has it. It's worth $540 now.
Wow.
So if you can find that $10 and it was long enough ago, you're going to be a happy baby.
Oh my goodness. I better look.
Yeah, you better look.
Some guy sent me $5.
Check. Do me a favor. After you're done here, and then we can maybe do, maybe we can start recording this, this podcast from the Rainbow Room in Rockefeller Center.
That would be fun. Yeah.
Now, to be clear, there is no reason for Bitcoin to be going this high, interestingly enough. There are a few news blips that are popping up that are saying that it should go high. eBay was allowing, PayPal was allowing it. The government SEC basically just said that Bitcoin is the equivalent of SWIFT or ACH or any other money transfer system, which is an important consideration. Because historically, when I did my Bitcoin startup, that was our biggest problem because Bitcoin wasn't considered a money transfer system. So we would have gone to jail. Now it's perfectly fine. So
and it also doesn't take away that whole untraceable anonymity bullshit that they tried to sell.
If you go on your Coinbase now, you're gonna have to put in a driver's license. You have to send in all this information. You have to identify yourself.
Right.
So it's kind of a pain right now, but to a degree. If it works, it works, right?
Yeah. I mean, I read just the other day that most of what was going on were giant institutional, quote unquote, transactions.
Yeah. It's so everybody wants to get into it. So it's entirely feasible that something like a Barbados or a smaller island country or a smaller country in South America could feasibly make their entire Federal Reserve Bitcoin. And it's possible. And it's wild to think about, but it's entirely feasible. And the reason why we do that is because it's the equivalent of digital gold. But because you don't have to hold it, because you don't have to store it, because you don't have to do anything, then you basically have some control over it. Is it going to happen this year? Is it going to happen next year? I don't know. That said, it will happen eventually. And I'm a Bitcoin bear most of the time because I got so frustrated with it. I just didn't like it that well. But I think it's inevitable. I just don't like the direction that it's headed right now.
I read today that Julian Assange did a Bitcoin scam or was involved with one for $300 million. And that's the other thing. Yeah, it was on Crazy Days and Nights, which is a gossip site by a lawyer who's always 100% right about everything, never gets sued, no retractions, Vanity Fair, the whole deal. And I just curious that I read that today. And there's been so many instances of those big heists of somehow these nitwit banks and or people losing.
Yeah, I mean they're not banks, they're exchanges. Yeah,
right. And they're you know, how many scams have there been?
Well, the interesting thing,
scary.
Yeah, the thing you have to think about is that a lot of this investment, quote unquote, this investment is basically just stolen money being poured back into the system, because you can't get your money out. Once if you steal a bunch of Bitcoin, people are going to figure out what the heck's going on. So they're going to steal it. They're going to stop it. So what you do is you basically turn it into, I don't know, Ether, or you turn it into some other coin and just essentially launder it for yourself. So that's how this stuff works. And it's fine that it exists, and it seems that people are into it, like legitimate people, but the vast majority of the guys who are sending money back and forth are basically just lying. They're just screwing.
Right.
Screwing you. Yeah.
Right.
Anyway.
It's always been shady.
Yeah, it's not shady, and I wish it were better, which is so frustrating to me. I wish it were a lot better. That's why I hate it so much. Cause it's not
living up to its potential.
Yeah. It's like seeing the school nerd become like a truck driver or something. I mean, truck drivers are cool, but
right. I'm with you.
Yeah, or it's like seeing the school nerd become a QAnon head.
Right.
Because their brain moved too fast and they just went completely nuts.
Anyway. Right.
All right, so by the time this comes out, we're going to know about Georgia, and we're probably going to have a new president. That should be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely going to have a new president.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of if there's violence or not surrounding it, but we're definitely going to have a new president.
Yep. Well, this has been Tech Hygiene. What was the thing called? Crazy Days and Nights? I've never even seen this site.
It's phenomenal.
Really?
Oh yeah, it's one of the best sites on the web, dude. He's right about everything. Like 6 months later, it comes out, and again, it's written by some long-term entertainment attorney who's a madman. Yeah, he's been written about. He's legit, and like I said, never been sued. Says the craziest shit. He's all over Elon. There's always all kinds of insane Elon stories in there. What he does, he writes, you know, he writes the story, and then like a week later, he'll do like Blind Items Revealed.
Yeah, but...
And he'll just name the names.
See, I see it here. It's like Pamela Anderson?
Yeah.
Rodriguez?
Yeah, she was dating him.
What?
She was dating Assange. Yeah.
Foreign-born accused rapist who is loved and supported by this foreign-born former A-list actress was the mastermind beneficiary of the disappearance of the $300 million of Bitcoin 2 years ago.
Yep.
Julian Assange, Pamela Anderson, Quadriga. Quadriga is the guy who died. We got to close this up. Maybe we'll bring this back up again. But that's kind of wild. I'll do a little research and we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Maybe it's QAnon.
Yep. And it's either QAnon or Elon Musk. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, all right. This has been Tech Hygiene. We will see you next week. Tech Hygiene is brought to you by Typewriter. Typewriter is your on-demand editor, and their amazing team of writers will make your book chapter, blog post, or email shine. Typewriter editors come from places like TechCrunch, Gizmodo, and the New York Times, and they offer low bulk rates for longer work. Check it out at typewriter.plus. That's typewriter.plus.